I will begin by acknowledging some callers in my viewers and observers. The animal scientist Eric Ben, calling it Jay Patterson, the animal science department, Richard Randall, the Aaron Ben program. In addition, I'd like to acknowledge the Missouri Department of Agriculture and the Missouri Livestock Association, Jay Cattleman, and the Missouri Veterinary Association, for what they contribute to the program. What I'm going to talk about today is something a little different than you might think of process verification, i.e. processing. This is process verification from the production side, from the cow-calf standpoint of providing replacement heifers into that program. Now, I'm not only here to talk to you about the program, I'm here as an advocate for the program, as a model for what this change to the catalyst of the cattle value chain. Because this program goes across breed, this program goes across type and structure of producer, whether you're a registered or non-registered producer, and several other things. So what I want to talk about today is the value of a third-party verification program associated with this replacement heifer program in Missouri. I want to kind of back into this. First, I'm going to tell you a little bit about how this program began. So this program began with the University of Missouri, the Extension Service. And believe it or not, I think they created a great thing here. Maybe one of the few times we've been in Missouri, my 5 years in Missouri, that I felt like we've improved an industry and maybe revolutionized the industry in Washington. This program began as more of an educational training program for cow-calf producers. How to improve the management practices in terms of retaining heifers back in your herd and long-term productivity. Now, one of the things that the founders of Richard Randall and Dave Patterson didn't realize at the time was there would be a market for these animals beyond just retaining them in their own herd. There would be a market opportunity through sanctioned sales with certain trademarks showing the lack of replacement heifer program. And that buyers would pay a premium. And that buyers would come from all over the country to buy these heifers. Because they're process verified, they're source verified, which made process source verified. You know, really the country word and label here once it's over. It really depends what happens in the safety situation. We had heifers that were source verified and process verified that could sit and feed into the value chain. I want to give you a little bit more detail than that. Some of the accomplishments of this program since it began in 1997. There's been 400, almost 500 different farms of producers involved. In 1997, 98, began with 33 producers, and this past year had 203 producers involved. There's been 166 veterinarians involved, about a dozen extension personnel. And to date, there's been about 55,000 heifers go through the program. Now, I should say, this is restricted to Missouri producers, as you might know. So this is just for Missouri. In 1997, there were 1,800 animals entered into the program. In 2003, there was over 8,000 heifers entered into the program. So quite a significant change there. Now, I went to the veterinarians because they've been critical. Part of the initial training was to train them on how to meet the qualifications and process verification of this program. So that means 166 veterinarians that went through the training to make them a third-party verifier of meeting the requirements of this program. And I'll get to the requirements in a little more detail in a second. A little bit more to what that type of sales. And I'll give you some updated numbers here as well. In 1997, we started out with 6 sales all in the fall. 2003, we're up to 11 sales. 7 in the fall and 4 in the spring. In that time, there's been 12,300 heifers welcomed to the program to be sanctioned. So they carry a Show Me Select trademark. Their special sale, one annual goes through the sale on that day. To date, there's been 11.6 million in gross sales from those animals. There's been almost 4,000 buyers, prospective buyers, from all over the country. The point now, a lot of times we're going to take telephones in because people are becoming so comfortable with the process verification here. They're wanting to buy in on that. There's been almost 1,300 different acceptable miles. Now, I want to talk a little bit about what makes this a process verified, source verified program. Another type of what's the value of the individual producer company? In the handout book you have, just check that out outside, in my section here, there is a process verification and a timeline for this report. So, I'm an animal scientist, I'm not an animal scientist, veterinary medicine person. So some of the details here I want to know, if you go to the section here, the second section at the end, where it has program requirements and timeline, there's much more detail. I did bring one set of forms that are filled out by individual producers, and if any of you would like to see that afterwards, it's sitting up here, you can see the detail that's put into this in terms of the information that's collected. All of that information that I'm about to discuss is put into a package. We have all the information I'm going to discuss, what everything's in there about every animal that's ever looked at the program. So if anyone ever has a question, we need trademark or animal, I put that ear thing. They can call up a number 5, 10 years from now and say, I see this animal has a show me select pepper ear thing. If that's correct, here's the number. Well, you know, some people might say, well, maybe they can call up a pepper number. Well, all of a sudden, you know, you've got to have the breeding, you've got the color, you've got the general location of the animal. So someone has to go through a lot of complicated procedure to try to make up for the ear tag. You should sell something to show them the right animal. So one of the third-party verification critical factors is this enormous database to track all of this information. But it's critical. So if someone ever has a question for traceability and source verified. Now, what happens must be over the minimum 60 days. If they're purchased off farm, they have to be an affidavit signed that the animal, where the animal was originally born, what date it was born, etc. Most of this is put in place dealing with FHA, so FFA type animal, 4-H type animals, they might be able to be fully managed. Most animals producer ready are typically from the farm. So we have an original sort identified system on these animals. Health, vaccination, internal and external parasite, one of your boots, very stringent. This is one of the areas where the veterinarians come in. This is one of the areas here, especially the heifers, the little frame, muscling. This is where the Department of Agriculture comes from. They come in right before the sale, take a look at these animals, and say, okay, these are qualifications. This is where the producers come involved. They have groups of producers that double check all the animals that go through the program to make sure they're very concerned with quality, consistency, etc. Because what they found is the consumers, in this case, consumers or other cattle producers, not any consumer is pet producers, but their consumers are other cattle producers. That's what they want, and they're willing to pay for it. It was this here on the left, fire requirements. They have a specific set of EPDs, those are the requirements. Right now, most of those EPD collections have been collected around the area of having a reproductive capability. Well, the next logical step, and I'll talk about this a little bit again, is to start collecting those EPDs to improve the quality of the calves out of the areas. And that's really what the program is doing in terms of feeding the value chain. For source verified animals, quality, consistency. It's got to begin at the cow-calf level. Pre-growth conditions, several things here. You know, important factors here. We've been a survey, the buyer survey one. They love to keep animals, including cattle, they're fully budgeted. They're guaranteed. When you go to the sale, you buy those animals, they're approved. The pregnancy exam, 120 days into gestation before that. Less than eight minimum weight, body condition scores. Now, I would note several of these quality factors, whether it be body condition score, repro track score, even a lot of controversy among the producers. And some of them don't have to look at the same condition, but so far, what they've done is, what they've done is worse. They're always speaking to the program every year, they make higher and higher standards for themselves. Most of our standards are at or above USDA requirements. So we need to be able to encourage the value sectors and graders to come in and design the rate. But they're always looking to improve the program. So no matter how much value that is, we have some case studies and producers involved in this. And this test right now, it looks like there's between $75 and $650 per animal added value. Over commodity, plus additional costs. So additional costs, the change in feed production, the changes in labor, moving on labor expenses. You got to run through the shield, a few more fires for the veterinary inspection because of the free breeding. There's a weaning exam, and then of course the exam, and all the performance they want to do. So a little bit more handling involved. Yeah, there's also some cost savings. And this will lead into kind of the next topic about some other cost value advantages. The marketing costs are actually quite a bit less for one of our deputies. Well, the Livestock Association, the Livestock Barn Owners, have realized that this opens up a whole new clientele to them. It also opens up exposure to their sale barns they didn't have before. So they have reduced their fees to them. The one thing that happened is they have less marketing costs. So they have to pay the rent. There's better areas where there's been decreased costs and there's more in the future. Also, why do you think generating added value? Why are other producers wanting to pay $75 to $150 more for something with trademark? One is, they always know everything about that animal, source, and process for everyone. What are we seeing? We're seeing lower foal rates in the animals. Why is that? We're seeing higher calving rates. Not only initially, but already in the animal's life. One of the things we picked up the last few years is the animals that were initially in this program 4 or 5 years ago are now selling at a premium when they're sold off from the herd of these markets. There's something that was never thought of in the beginning. But these animals, with that ear tag, continue to have value beyond that first year. This was initially set up as kind of a first year type thing. But now we're seeing these showing these black trademark animals popping up there for their 5, 6, 7 years more. So people realize that's kind of buying a farm equipment. You get something you think has good quality and you think made right, if you ever got the sale 10 years later, you're gonna pay a little bit more. This is the same thing. Yeah, I want to close this. The final thought. Profit verification can take many forms. In this case, it's production profit verification. Values in the pyramid of games. You don't have to coordinate and turn the whole supply chain to these values. If there is an advantage to the next person in the supply chain, or if you have a comparative advantage, I would say you can raise effort, quality effort, that would be coming out. Someone will pay for that. If they find a value, they're going to pay for that. Pay your cost, value advantage. Well, one of the things that just happened here within the last few weeks is they actually became, originally they were funded primarily through the University of Missouri Extension Service, the full program. January 1, 2004, they became an incorporated business. Helped facilitate the 15-member board that created this around the guidelines. They pretty much kept all profit verification in place. They are now paying a fee for every animal entered. If anyone has questions about that, I'll visit with you afterwards. So I'll take a question about that. But now we're starting to see input providers approach this group and say, hey, if you use our product across the board, we'll be the technical separator. Because we want to see our name associated with this program because it's great exposure. Already we're starting to see maybe some opportunities there to cut costs. The next stage also should be looking at looking at the cap and the cap quality. So they can see the value chain to meet that user demand. And hopefully, I think one of the long-term goals of this group is to grow beyond the group. And then figure out how, what their growth strategies will be. They have a website in, and you're more than welcome to go. It has all the program requirements, a lot more details about the site, about the economic side, number of animals, sale locations, and everything. This is an AI breakout by breeds, how the animals are going to be present in it. A couple of questions. Do you have any questions about this program? Yes, sir.
Is there any
the question is there anything done on this issue? Yes, and that's actually one of the things that buyers, in terms of what we found, they're willing to pay to run the disposition issue. And because of the cost of verification and demand to acquire, it tends to be they will have a little bit better disposition in general for some sales up. So while it's not building the requirement, it's kind of a natural outcome of the cost of verification. And that's a very good question. And that's another one of the positive outcomes of what I've expected in the beginning. When the people pick up on that, they can get some issues.
Any other
questions? I will go to the Animal Science Department. The question is, how many people have called in and asked questions about the tag number? Is this rate, is this for sure so many people ask? I don't think it's been a lot. I would just say field 5 or 6 questions a year. Now, I would say that if anyone has problems with an animal, they will call it back as well. Maybe track the animal all the way back to see what might have been wrong. So they probably use it more in terms of, hey, I had a problem with this animal. Let's go back and look and see what kind of problem is wrong. Take one more question.
Yeah, I noticed to look at the number of your animals sold and the number of successful buyers, and it worked out to be about 9 animals per buyer. Has this gone along with other programming for small producers? Can you tell them about the benefits of buying versus retaining pepper?
Yeah. The point is, if you look at the number of animals purchased per buyer, that divides the rest on 9 million. And I think that's one thing that Missouri has a little bit of advantage in. If you look at our farmer graphic, it tends to be a little bit smaller on average cattle producer. And that would tend to fit into that category of about 9 animals per producer in terms of their call rate. I think it's a little bit above average. But yeah, that has been one of the strengths. They found that they can keep those lots smaller. 10 trail lots is probably 3 to 5 animals. That's where they get the highest price.